Hello, and welcome to The Collision, Collider's podcast about movies, TV, and more. I'm Matt Goldberg, the site's managing editor, and with me today is senior editor Adam Chitwood.
Howdy.
It's going to be a short show because nothing really major broke today in news. Marvel announced everything. Yes, Marvel had an event, and the event was to announce all of Phase 3, and Marvel has just gone crazy and the way of, let me just rattle it off for you. First off, Ant-Man, no longer part of Phase 3. Ant-Man is now the redheaded stepchild of Phase 2. It will be sort of it's still coming after Avengers Age of Ultron, but it doesn't count as the beginning of Phase 3 anymore. It's like post
Phase 2. It's a postscript. Also Ant-Man.
Right, because they don't want to start Phase 3 on Ant-Man, which is not coming back at all, apparently, for 3 or 4 years. It's so sad. It's the saddest of all of them, for so many reasons, because even if you push past Edgar Wright, you still have Paul Rudd as Ant-Man. You have a good cast. You have Michael Douglas as Hank Pym. It's sad. It's sad that that's sort of where it is, but Phase 3 is huge, and I have the list in front of me. All these films will be in 3D. And here we go. Captain America Civil War, May 6, 2016. Doctor Strange, November 4th, 2016. Guardians of the Galaxy 2, May 5th, 2017. Thor Ragnarok, July 28th, 2017. Black Panther, November 3rd, 2017. Captain Marvel, July 6, 2018. Inhumans, November 2nd, 2018. Avengers Infinity War, Part 1, May 4th, 2018. Part 2, May 3rd, 2019. So we have a lot of Marvel movies in a short amount of time. Not a short amount of time, years. But it moved from 2 a year to 3 a year. And thankfully, this really helps me firm up my 2018 plans. Because that was getting very crowded for me.
It's a full schedule. I just don't know where I'm going to fit in these movies.
I know, right? It's just, I'm glad that they claim these dates. I mean, here's the thing. It's good to know Marvel has a plan. I think one of the main things that came up in this whole thing is that part of what Marvel did right now was a reaction to what Warner Brothers DC did a week ago when they announced all of their superhero movies. They were less specific. We have years for them. We don't know really anything else. We can suss out some things. But Marvel is all about the showmanship. Come to our event. We'll have an organ player before the event playing tunes. Then we will have a gigantic screen, and then we'll bring out movie stars. Then we'll bring out Chadwick Boseman, who's playing Black Panther. By the way, give it up to Marvel. No one had that on their radar at all, and if they did, they didn't say it.
Latino Review reported it. Yeah,
did those bastards do it? A while ago?
Yeah, like a year ago. That he was being considered.
I gotta give it up to those guys. They really do.
So it has been on the radar, but it was like.
But it was like a year radar.
Reporting he was being like considered or something, and it was one of those things where like, well, like I'm sure they're looking into stuff, but are they really gonna cast someone without a director?
Right.
Like that doesn't happen very often. So.
But it happened this time.
But it happened. So that's kind of odd as a director to come onto a project. It's like, not like the Marvel movies weren't already like pre-done enough, but like coming into like, oh, you already have my cast, all right? So yeah. What do I do here?
Right. A friend of mine on Facebook was like, I don't know about getting Scott Derrickson to direct Doctor Strange. And I'm like, it's a warm body that knows how to point a camera. That's what you've hired.
Yeah.
You've hired a competent person, and that is really all that was required of you.
It's a Marvel Studios.
It's a Marvel Studios film. So the films, you know, look different to an extent, but
sure.
It's still meant to be consistent.
And they have. I would describe them as having flavors. Like Guardians of the Galaxy has a James Gunn flavor, but it's not. I wouldn't call it a James Gunn.
You would not confuse it with Super or Slither for a second.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and that's commonplace too. Like Christopher McQuarrie, who I like quite a bit, recently directed Jack Reacher. Right now, he's directing Mission Impossible 5, and someone asked. They asked him something like, how would you describe your it was like, how do you describe your Mission Impossible take, your Mission Impossible film? And he's like, it's not my film. Like, he knows exactly, like, he's a director, like, he's there to direct, but he knows, like, when you're directing Mission Impossible 5, it is not a, or someone asked if it's going to be, like, a Christopher McQuarrie film or, like, a film by Christopher McQuarrie, and he said neither. Like, because it's not, like, it's the, when you're directing Mission Impossible 5, you're not making every single shot. Like, when studios are putting this much amount of money into films, it's not going to be, like, you know, Paul Thomas Anderson's Inherent Vice. You don't
unless your
that
name is
Christopher
control. Nolan.
Yes, unless your name is Christopher Nolan.
Right. And so that's the thing. So that's the other thing about these Marvel films is that you bring up an excellent point. The cast, we've got the casting. You'll come on and you'll shoot Black Panther. And I do like what Kevin Feige said in that the sense that they're trying to find as much diversity in their directors as
sure.
they are in their casting. And that's very encouraging. And also, I would like to give Marvel the benefit of the doubt in that they were already planning Black Panther, and I think for sure Black Panther was on tap. This was not a last minute thing in the last week.
Yeah.
But there clearly is a balance now where DC says we are going to have Cyborg and Wonder Woman and Aquaman for that matter.
And The Flash, which is led by an openly gay actor.
Openly gay actor, but we won't know if it's an openly gay character.
Sure, but I'm just saying, like, we're giving an actor like that the lead in a
super- oh, for sure. That's fantastic. That's absolutely fantastic. I don't mean to diminish that at all.
Yeah.
I'm just talking about from the diversity of characters.
Yeah.
Hey, if they want to make a gay Flash, go for it. That'd be awesome.
That'd be great.
But, yeah. But in any event, what we have now is now Marvel has responded with, you know, you now have an African-American-led superhero film, and now you're also going to have Captain Marvel, which will be a female-led superhero film. And so that's great. It's great to have those, finally.
Yeah, it's been a while. And I'm sure there are people who are going to say, like, oh, Marvel's been planning this forever, and they've been just holding their cards. But, like, this doesn't – they don't exist in a vacuum. Like, they saw DC's announcement. Like, I'm sure they had stuff in the works. They always have stuff in the works. And I know that they were planning to do something with Captain Marvel soon. But I there's no doubt that DC's announcement affected them at least somewhat.
I think DC's announcement forced Marvel to make their announcement.
Yeah.
I don't think Marvel makes their announcement at all if DC doesn't. I think Marvel holds off until they want to.
Sure.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
And so I certainly think they would have probably held off until they had Cumberbatch locked down, but they didn't want to keep postponing because, again, the DC thing was a week ago. And then Marvel not only has to follow suit in terms of announcing a bunch of things, but then they got to do it the Marvel way, which is showmanship. And they put on a show.
Well, and what today's event was originally supposed to be was they were inviting press. They were going to show some Avengers Age of Ultron footage. They were going to show the new trailer, which was going to debut in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And then they were going to have a Q&A with Joss Whedon. And then the trailer leaked early, and I guess Warner Brothers announced its DC slate. So I guess they called an audible.
Yeah, exactly. So and again, it still went over fine. And they're very good at what they do in terms of the news cycle. And I cracked a joke on Twitter about how it's very much a Marvel when they do these kind of things, it's drop the mic, walk away. And yet, what we're doing right now in comparing these two studios is like, I wonder which billion-dollar corporation will win.
Yeah.
It's that kind of thing. And I think, one, people like Marvel because they appeal to the fans. But both companies are trying to get to the same place. It's just that Marvel coats it in, we respect our fans and we have a plan and we love these properties as much as you do. And Warner Brothers is like, this is a fucking business.
Yeah.
Okay. And no, we don't really have anyone running DC as a cohesive vision. We are chasing Marvel in that way. It's possible we don't know what the fuck we're doing except more superhero movies. But guess what? It doesn't matter because it's a business and we know people will show up for this shit.
Sure.
And that's
Marvel's a business too. And to be fair, Warner Brothers doesn't have fans yet because they don't have a franchise yet. Like, Marvel wouldn't have done anything like this, like, after Incredible Hulk or for Incredible Hulk. Let's see, because Warner Brothers is one movie in to their franchise. So, like, after Iron Man, they're not going to be like, all right, we're going to hold an event for all of our fans of the Marvel Universe. And everyone's like, what? You just done one movie. Like, we don't know what it is yet. So I think that's the position Warner Brothers is in, is that, like, it's a question mark. Like, no one really knows what's up. So they can't really right. be like, here's a fan event for our non-existent fans.
Well, the other thing is I think we also have to step outside the geek bubble and realize that this event was specifically aimed at geeks. If I go out as someone who doesn't know or care about any of this, and you're like, oh man, Marvel just totally won up Warner Brothers presentation. I know all about these movies. Do you know there's going to be a Captain Marvel movie coming out and Inhumans? And you will get the blankest fucking stare
yeah.
you have ever received in your entire life. And it's just...
I had a friend of mine tell me, he's like, keep seeing stuff about some Doctor Strange shit on your site. I don't even know what the hell that is.
Exactly.
And I'm like, you'll find, like, and the reality is, like, you don't have to worry about that for 2 years. Like, it's fine. You will see the trailers in 2 years and then make your decision. Like, this is just for, like, people that care. And, like, I'm not even a comics person. Like, I don't read comics, so this doesn't even appeal to me on that level, but I just find it interesting. I find all of this stuff interesting, and I like kind of the jockeying that happens behind the scenes, and I'm interested to see what happens to this material, because it is, I mean, it's material that's been in the pop culture verse for decades, so it's an opportunity to take something known and put a spin on it.
Yeah, I mean, it's,
well, when it comes to Warner Brothers, not so much Marvel, because no one knows what Inhumans is.
Well, I was just going to say about Marvel, though. Marvel is now pushing to expand the universe. I mean, let's be honest. With Warner Brothers, they're not putting out a Martian Manhunter movie. They're not putting out a Booster Gold movie. They're putting out Wonder Woman, Aquaman, The Flash. People know these names. These are names that I think if I went up to someone and said, hey, do you know what Aquaman is? And they're like, yeah, he talks with the fishies. Like, yeah, okay. that's that guy. And you pretty much have it down. I mean, the biggest one is Cyborg. And that's that's the biggest question. And the name kind of explains what he is. But I think after Post-Guardians, we're like, if you can sell it, your brand is good enough. So yeah, now we're all like, what's Inhumans? And the answer is, it doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah.
Because by the time it rolls around, the Marvel marketing machine, which is very good at what it does, will sell Inhumans. And that's it. That's just, the marketing is so important.
Also, Marvel doesn't even know what Inhumans is yet. Like,
no.
That's 3 years away. They have not, that script is not done. They don't have a director. They don't know what that movie's going to be yet. Like, Guardians of the Galaxy, 3 years before release, was a very different movie than the movie that it turned out to be.
Right.
They just know that they have a take that they like on Inhumans, and they know they want to get the property, and they're going to start laying the groundwork.
I'm sure there's a take in all of these movies in terms of what has to feed into the next movie. So if you're building up to Infinity War, it's like, well, we're going to need an Infinity Stone here and an Infinity Stone there. You know, you have to kind of lay your big plot points, but you're right. From a details perspective, we're not even close to what Inhumans is.
Though Kevin Feige did say that we would learn
start getting hints.
Well, we would learn more sooner than you think, which I read some people saying today. Maybe that's how Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch come into the equation. Maybe they are actually Inhumans, which would explain, like, how they're able to survive those experiments.
How you don't say the M word.
Yeah, how you don't say mutants. So, like, that's a way of introducing Inhumans by saying, like, oh yeah, you remember those two characters in Avengers 2? They're Inhumans. So, got it? Good. Okay.
Got it? Good. Great. Exactly. So, it's something where I look at this whole master plan of Marvel, and I just... I am excited, and yet it's like candy in that if you eat too much of it, you get sick. And I just see 8 movies on these dates, and I want to be more excited, but I feel like I'm being played. That's the thing. When I see this kind of event, what I see is a lot of dates, a lot of names, and a lot of details you can't really share with me, a couple hints here and there, and then I shrug, and it's like, what am I going to do with a Captain Marvel movie that comes out on July 6, 2018? It's 2014 right now. What do I do with that information? And I'm sure we'll learn.
You speculate for 4 years straight.
Yep. That's what happened.
The thing that I was thinking about, and it's not, I mean, I find this news interesting, but it's not something that, like, I'm like, oh my God, I got to figure out, you know, 2018 is coming up soon. I got to figure out how I'm going to feel about Captain Marvel. But more the fact that, like, you know, everyone's talking about Captain America Civil War, which is the next Marvel movie that'll go into production. I guess, yeah, before Doctor Strange. So that's the next one. So everyone's talking about that, and, you know, it's Robert Downey Jr., and it's going to be, like, this big storyline, which is cool. And I'm like, hold on a minute. Like, Avengers Age of Ultron comes out in, like, 4 or 5 months, like, 6 months, 7 months. Have we stopped? Are we not excited for the movie that's actually, like, finished?
No, no, no. That's teaser. No, it's teaser culture.
Yeah,
that's what
that's
it is. It's all teaser culture. You want to look as far ahead. By the time Avengers Age of Ultron behind that junket comes out, no one's going to vote. Fuck about Avengers Age of Ultron.
That's the thing is, I feel
unless
like it's already,
box office is huge, that's yeah. all it's worth at that point.
Well, I feel like it's already old. Like, it's already old news. People are like, oh yeah. Like, I know about Age of Ultron. I got it. You know,
yeah,
I'm still
got
excited
it.
For it.
Big
got
changes
it, but...
roster. Yeah, big changes. Roster's
yeah.
different.
Tell
world
me,
shaking
tell me
events.
More about Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah. Now I'm done. Now I'm done. Tell me about Civil War. I'm like, yeah. You're absolutely right. It's like, wait, that's May 2016. That's a year after Avengers. And what about poor Ant-Man? Poor little Ant-Man.
Ant-Man. I have a feeling I'm going to like Ant-Man. My favorite Marvel movie is Iron Man 3, and I really enjoyed Guardians of the Galaxy, but, like, people hate Iron Man 3. So I have
what?
A feeling
people,
I'm going to love
people don't hate Iron Man 3.
There are plenty
people
of
hate them. Iron Man 2.
People do hate Iron Man 2, too. But Iron Man 2 is objectively bad.
Yes.
I think people.
I like the part where Howard Stark happened to invent the exact thing that would save his son.
Yeah.
50 years before it happened.
Yeah.
That worked out. I don't. Ant-Man, I'm looking forward to. But again, it's just like, let's look. And that's what these kind of events and announcements encourage. It gets people really riled up for an idea, and the movie gets lost. People don't care about the movies anymore. That's a kind of a grandiose statement. I'll scale that back. But I hear this stuff, and I hear a lot of excitement for an idea. Like, I hear, oh man, Benedict Cumberbatch is going to make a great Doctor Strange. You have zero fucking way of knowing that. You can like him as an actor and can see, like, ooh, well, his past characters can kind of play similarities to the Doctor Strange in the comics, I think I know. Great. But you don't know that script, you don't know that movie, you don't know that actor's take, you know shit. But now you're like, he's going to be a great Doctor Strange. Yeah. You were so certain. You haven't seen a frame of footage, you haven't seen a screenshot, and you're like, he's great.
Sure, like for me, most of this casting comes down to, do I like the actor and would I like to see them in a superhero movie? But like beyond that, you don't know anything else. Like, I like Benedict Cumberbatch, I don't think Star Trek Into Darkness serviced his talents very well. I would like to see him get something better on the screen in Doctor Strange. So hopefully that is a good marriage of actor and material. I like Ezra Miller a lot. I am excited that he's going to be leading a superhero movie. Yeah. I know nothing about what the Flash movie is going to be, let alone how Marvel is going to deal with having a movie and a TV show on at the same time with two different characters.
They'll figure that out. That's, to me, that's not a hurdle.
Sure.
But I'm with you. I think that
that's the extent
for me,
of my, like, I like Chadwick Boseman. Like, that's neat.
Exactly. I like the actor. I'm glad the actor is succeeding.
Sure.
Yeah. Beyond that, I have no idea about the character.
Yeah.
I'm just going to, like,
Chadwick
Boseman.
So I'm not going to stress over it. Like, I don't.
Yeah.
If I don't like the actor, I'm going to be like, well, you know, maybe it's a good fit. Who knows?
Right. That's the thing. People just need to keep taking that Heath Ledger Joker lesson.
Yeah.
Again and again and again. You don't know shit about what you think you know when it comes to casting in superhero movies.
Sometimes
or
you
really
don't know shit
case.
What you think you know when it comes to superhero movies. I was covering the Thor Ragnarok thing today and looked up on the little Marvel wiki and I was like, oh, all right, like Ragnarok is a clone of Thor that's cloned when Thor dies or whatever. And, you know, oh, this is supposed to pick up after Avengers Age of Ultron, so maybe Thor goes missing or he dies and, like, Tony, you know, clones him. And then everyone was like, you're wrong. Ragnarok is a different storyline in Marvel. Like, yeah, there's the clone stuff, but there's another, like, world-ending event in Norse mythology. And I was like, what? They got two different things with the same name. So, who knows?
Yep, that's pretty... Yeah, no one knows, but they want to think that they do. And once you think that you do, you can get super excited because the world is full of possibilities. And what did we have today? We had titles... We had release dates, and and we had like casting Bozeman, that was real. But then you had like little details, like, you know, Black Panther will have a major part in Civil War. Okay. Carol Danvers is the Captain Marvel we're using. Okay. Inhumans hints will be dropped sooner than you think. Okay. I mean, to me, it's like, what can I really... I can't do anything with that, and I can't say anything about movies with that. And that's the thing. I think now Marvel is like, they're making fun movies. I like their movies. I don't want to, like, you know, write that off. I do. I look forward to them. But now I feel like what Marvel is manufacturing is the looking forward to, you know?
Well, this, to be fair,
Much more excitement right now. Like you said, there's so much more excitement for this right now, this whole big grand plan, than there is for Avengers Age of Ultron.
Which is a movie that is real and that is shot and that is in post-production right now. Like, it's done. It has a finished script.
It's like, remember those days when we gave a shit about Avengers Age of Ultron? I was in the room in Hall H where they announced the title and everyone's like, oh my fucking God!
Yeah.
They lost their shit.
Sure.
I mean, that's...
But to be fair, I'm not sure. I think Marvel was maybe forced its hand a little bit into revealing more than maybe it wanted to today.
Because of DC.
Because of the Avengers Age of Ultron leak. I think maybe their marketing plan was spun out. Maybe not. Who knows? But it just didn't really feel like them to, like, release this far in advance. I remember when Kevin Feige was like, oh, we know our movie's up through 2021. And I was like, yeah, we'll learn what that 2021 movie is in, like, 2018. Like, because that's kind of the Marvel way. Is they, you know, step by step. But
yeah.
Today, they went all the way up through 2019. So we're closing in on the Marvel's
grand plan. And here's something interesting. Like, this is all part of Kevin Feige's master plan, right?
Yeah. As permitted by Ike Perlmutter.
This is my point. When does Kevin Feige's contract expire?
Sure. Steve asked him that last year, a couple of years ago. I don't remember his answer. He said he had
a
while.
I don't think it goes to 20. My question is, what if Ike Perlmutter fired Kevin Feige or Kevin Feige left?
Yeah.
What would happen then to this whole plan? Because he's the showrunner, and that's the end of it. And to me, that's sort of a key piece of this whole Warner Brothers Marvel divide, is that Warner Brothers, it's sort of a double-edged sword on their end. On the one hand, there's no showrunner giving a consistent vision. On the other hand, they have opened a door to say, we're going to give directors carte blanche to have a vision. You know, we let Zack Snyder do his thing, and not all of our movies can look like that, because it's just, like, Zack Snyder is a visual stylist.
Yeah.
So you're not going to keep making all your movies in that mold, whereas, like, Jon Favreau was very journeyman. It's a good movie. I rewatched Iron Man recently. It's a good movie, but it's not visually distinct like Man of Steel.
Sure.
So now Warner Brothers has the opportunity to, even though there's clearly no unifying vision here,
yeah,
I don't care what they say. They are reverse engineering, and they're basically like, here's a bunch of movies, and we'll figure out the rest later.
Yeah. Well, I think it's interesting. The only other director we know for Warner Brothers yet is David Ayer. And so that's, I mean, it'll be interesting what his visual take is. Is it in line with, you know, Batman v Superman? What does Suicide Squad look like? So, I mean, that'll be interesting, but I do agree with you that they are reverse engineering whatever they have here. The closest thing they had to have to a Kevin Feige is Zack Snyder, who's directing Man of Steel, Batman v Superman, Justice League 1, Justice League 2.
Yeah.
But then
you also have, like, Jeff Johns as a consultant, and David Goyer kind of poking his head in.
I think Goyer's gone.
He's gone now? Get rid of, yeah.
Well, so he
See,
wrote...
See, that's the thing. Is he gone? No one knows.
He wrote Man of Steel. So he and Nolan famously hatched Man of Steel when they were stuck on a plot point in Dark Knight Rises. Goyer was like, I have an idea for an interesting take on Superman. Like, what if, you know, you do a first contact story with Alien? Nolan's like, oh, I love that. Let me call the head of Warner Brothers, because the head of Warner Brothers will always answer Christopher Nolan's call. He's like, hey, Goyer has this idea. I want to produce it. Let's do it. He's like, okay. So they make Man of Steel. And then Goyer writes Batman versus Superman. And then Ben Affleck is cast. Ben Affleck is also Warner Brothers' darling. Chris Nolan is busy with Interstellar, so he's not as involved. Ben Affleck comes on and he's like, "Hey, I got this buddy of mine, Chris Terrio. You might have heard of him.
He may have written a movie you've heard of called Argo."
Yeah, he won an Oscar for writing Argo. What if he doesn't work on the script? Now the screenplay is credited directly to Chris Terrio. I'm not sure. I'm sure there will be a story by DeGoyer, but I don't know. And I think it's telling that we haven't heard anything from Goyer on any of these future Warner Brothers movies. He's you know, developing other things. Like, he's worked on Constantine. You know, he's working on that Sandman movie. So I think if he was still involved in the DC stuff on a day-to-day basis, he would not be committing to so many other things.
And look, I'm not bemoaning the loss. I think there's the larger point remains. I don't know who's steering the ship. I do kind of feel bad for the guy, though,
because, I mean, none of this would exist if he hadn't, like, hatched... No matter his talent.
His sexist comments on She-Hulk made me shrug and say, "I don't give a fuck what happens to you."
I did not see those.
Oh, he was basically like, She-Hulk is a porn fantasy for male readers, and it's like, actually, no, that's not true at all. But you know nothing about She-Hulk. But that's fine, whatever. You only write comic book movies for a living.
Yeah. I've learned a lot more about comic book movies in this job
than I thought I would ever intend.
Yeah.
So I just think there's no unifying vision. And yet, I was talking with a friend earlier this evening, and I realized that where basically what you have on two sides is you have Marvel Infinity War is their big thing, and then you have Justice League that's Warner Brothers' big thing.
Yeah.
And presumably the big villain of Justice League will be Darkseid, who looks a lot like Thanos. They're basically big power-hungry space monsters. They are incredibly similar.
Apparently the villain of
Part one is Brainiac, and then part two is...
Yeah, apparently, like, Green Lantern shows up at the end, and he's like, "Hey, guys, I've been in the galaxy. Guess what? There's this big guy named Darkseid. He's on his way." They're like, "What?
I hope that's the
you?
Exact dialogue." Yeah. I'm hoping that is verbatim what happens in the movie.
I really...
"Hey, guys, I'm Green Lantern. You don't know me, but..."
"You don't know me, but I gotta tell you." I've been watching this Earth place, and I really don't want to get ruined. So, I came here on my own. Just wanted to let you know.
Wanted to give you a heads up. There's a guy named Darkseid. He's a big space monster. Does he have Infinity Stones? I don't know what those are. Does he have a gauntlet? I don't know what that is. But he's definitely angry and wants to destroy the world. And I can totally help as long as the color yellow isn't involved.
But here's the thing, though. I'm really looking forward to seeing what Zack Snyder's Justice League looks like, because I think he's a very gifted visual director. And
I think if you give him a good, like, Chris Terrio script, yeah, sure.
If you cast a really good Wonder Woman, like, just seeing, like, Ezra Miller alongside Ben Affleck and...
Well, I don't know if they've cast... That's the thing. Gal Gadot is kind of a question mark.
Yeah. I have no idea how she is as Wonder Woman. I have my thoughts, but I don't know what that Wonder Woman is like. It's definitely not what I pictured as Wonder Woman to be, but until we... movie.
Don't know. Big question mark. I don't know how Jason Momoa is as Aquaman. Sure. I don't know how Ezra Miller is the Flash. It's just one of those things where, you know, we'll see. And we don't have to see it until 2016. Someone online today, I saw on my Twitter feed, someone was like, "Oh, man, I wonder if Warner Brothers DC will respond with a Batman Superman trailer." I'm like, it's 18 fucking months away.
Yeah.
Please no. Please stop this arms race. You know what will happen? They'll release the Batman v Superman trailer, and then Marvel will be like, "Fuck it, we're releasing Avengers: Age of Ultron tomorrow. Top that."
Yeah, they're like, "Surprise!
Surprise!
For Christmas."
Exactly. Now it's new. We win, and everyone's like, "Yeah, Marvel, they know how to do it right."
Of course,
they can't lose.
Yeah,
they're Marvel.
This is how far away these things are, is that James Gunn has, like, only started preliminary work on the script for Guardians of the Galaxy 2, which is technically the third movie announced today, like, in release date order, May 2017. So, like, think to, like, Inhumans, November 2018. Like, that's in the nascent stages.
Yeah. It's so far away. Like, it's you know, easy to announce these dates. And look, I think it's kind of cool when we reach these event horizons.
Yeah.
Like, I remember when I remember where I was when Iron Man's a hit, and now they're like, Avengers is going to be real. And I remember at the time, it's like, John Favreau might direct the Avengers.
Yeah, he really wanted to.
Exactly. And that's how it was at the time. But it was there. And it's like Avengers in 2012. And it was a big deal. And we built all up to it. And it happened. And it was huge. And that was great. And it was a game changer. But it's cool when you reach these points. But you have to get there. And I feel like we're looking so far ahead. We're missing what's right in front of us. And we're getting way too wrapped up in this pissing contest between Warner Brothers and DC, Warner Brothers DC and Marvel, which granted has always, the DC Marvel thing has always been there. We're just getting roped into that conflict now as moviegoers, but as comics fans, you almost
really,
pray
though,
for...
This is a war between Disney and Warner Brothers. Like Marvel and DC have nothing to do with it.
No, they're just pawns.
Yeah, and they're just sitting back, like Warner Brothers and Disney are just sitting back, like, you know, as fans are like, oh, you know, our team's gonna beat yours, and really what's actually at stake is like this corporate entity is gonna make more money than this corporate entity, or this corporate entity is gonna make just a little bit less money than that corporate entity.
Exactly. It's the it's like rooting for any team, you know? You're a fan, and you feel connected to your team. Your team doesn't give a shit about you, as long as you keep paying. And the people who get paid to make that thing are rich, and then the guys who own the team are wealthy, as Chris Rock pointed out. The man who signed Shaq's checks is wealthy. And that's what these are. They're corporate. You're right. I mean, they're just huge conglomerates, and this is just part of the plan. And we saw this from both sides. I mean, this expands beyond Marvel. I think if you were going to do a comparison about, like, what if Disney handled their business the same way Warner Brothers did, and they handled it this way. So today, instead of, like, a Marvel, hashtag Marvel event, they just listed all the Marvel films, and then they listed a bunch of Pixar films, and then they listed a bunch of Star Wars films.
Yeah.
Because that would be it, because Warner Brothers did their Harry Potter and their Lego movie and their superhero stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all part of a larger game plan. Like, it's not the be-all, end-all is not the Marvel lineup for Disney. It's like, oh, we also have, we're, you know, kicking off a new Star Wars franchise that by all accounts looks like it's going to be really good. They also have their Pixar movies. And as you said, Warner Brothers has a Lego franchise now and kicking off a new Harry Potter franchise.
Yeah, there's a reason they're called tent poles.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, it's
at the same time, though, it is what I think is kind of exciting about the Marvel stuff, in contrast to the Warner Brothers stuff, is that Marvel is so deep into its like slate, it's already established all these superheroes, that now they're starting to dig into like specific storylines, which I, when this whole superhero boom kicked off, never really thought of, like, that would be a thing. I thought it'd be like, you know, Captain America 2, like the further adventures of Captain America. But now they can delve into stuff like the Civil War storyline or the Infinity War storyline or Ragnarok, whatever the hell that may be. I probably need to learn more about that.
I mean, it's, hey, you and everybody else.
Sure.
For a movie that is really far away.
But in contrast to DC, though, what's interesting is that all of their movies are presumably origin stories. You've got Wonder Woman, The Flash, Aquaman, Shazam, Cyborg, Green Lantern. That's a lot of like stuff to kick off. And I feel like in the beginning, you know, when Warner Brothers was starting to kind of get its shit together, it was like, oh, we're going to, you know, start off with a Justice League movie, you know, right after Man of Steel. And, oh, maybe we'll do another thing after. They were trying to figure out what they could do. They were
I think they wanted to go straight to Justice League if possible. And then that Will Beal script was apparently such a clusterfuck.
Yeah.
And they're just like, let's pump the brakes and just add Batman and everything will be better.
Yeah. But the thing I'm interested to see is that, so superhero audiences now are so accustomed to the Marvel thing of like, you know, we're in an established universe. Like, we are following these established characters. Even something like Guardians of the Galaxy doesn't so much feel like an origin story because it's in this built-in universe that you know and have lived in. Whereas for the Warner Brothers stuff, a lot of this stuff is starting anew, at least for the first few ones. We've got Batman v Superman, Suicide Squad are both in 2016. And then 2017's Wonder Woman and Justice League. So those, it'll be interesting to see how audiences react to those, because it's not starting over, but kind of, I could see how like some of the creatives at Warner Brothers are like, man, I wish we were like in the position of Marvel, to where you can really just start digging into stories. Like, you have this established character line, you have all of that stuff out of the way, so you can dig into kind of what you want to dig into.
Right. I mean, I think really, I mean, we may talk about Justice League, but really already we're getting mini Justice League.
Yeah.
Batman v Superman.
It is.
You just can't call the movie Batman and Superman and Wonder Woman and Aquaman and Flash. Yeah. You just call it Dawn of Justice.
Dawn of Justice.
That's what you call it, because really we need this franchise, and that's the thing. I don't want to write off DC. That's the thing. I don't want to be fanboyish about it. I will say that Man of Steel really declined for me on a second viewing. Like, I wasn't in love with it to begin with. I thought it was... I liked it, but I had problems with it. And then on a second viewing, it just plummeted. And that makes me...
I still think that the penis ships are hilarious.
The penis ships are great.
That was a good touch.
Penis ships were fantastic. Release the space dildos. That actually is a cruel punishment. If you think about it, it's like, I'm going to send you off into a space dildo for the rest of whatever. That's your punishment for trying to destroy Krypton.
My question was just, how did no one catch that, or did they just not care? And I like Man of Steel. I watched it. I don't think I've watched it for a second time. Like, I saw it for a second time in theaters, and I still enjoyed it. And then I watched it again on Blu-ray, but I watched it with that like second screen experience, like an interactive commentary.
Yeah, I would say my thing with Man of Steel, and again, when we're talking about tonality, what does this mean for other DC films? Whereas you just have a very dour Superman movie.
Sure.
And it's like, what do you expect from Superman? I expect something to be kind of uplifting. And what's more about that film, and what I find it confusing, there's a lot of things I find confusing about it. I think it's at cross purposes with itself. I think the two fathers angle is interesting, but it's telling two stories against itself. And ultimately, what you come away with is Clark Kent, you have Pa Kent saying, maybe you should let a bus full of children die.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, where'd your moral compass come from? You know, like, that's the issue. It's like, why would this guy save people on an oil tanker if he's been brought up to believe, don't show your powers? Like, where did that turning point come in? And it's like, well, we need him to do that. It's missing pieces, and it's the script isn't great is the problem. It's
sure.
Visually very pretty, but like you said, there's things in that direction that's also oblivious beyond space dildos. It's also
the destruction.
It's the 9/11 destruction scene, which just no one seemed to pick up on. So what does that say about other DC movies? Like, are they more aware of it now? Are they more aware of fan feedback? Or is their guiding vision like gritty reality? If Marvel's going to be fun and fanciful, we're going to stick to the formula that worked with the Dark Knight trilogy and say people want their superheroes grounded. I'm making air quotes right now.
See, I'm fine with that. And that's what I want. I want differences. I don't want another studio trying to make something that's the same as Marvel. Like, if Warner Brothers wants to go all in on this gritty, you know, grounded stuff.
I don't care if it's gritty and grounded. I just need it to...
Well, in hiring David Ayer to direct a Suicide Squad movie and going after, like, Will Smith and Tom Hardy and Margot Robbie, like, that's aiming high. And that's, like... I feel like that's speaking... That's a good indicator for where they're going with their Warner Brothers stuff. And
yeah,
I think...
I don't want to write off grim and gritty. I just want to say that make sure it works. Don't just say,
sure,
oh, as long as we're grim and gritty, therefore we are mature, therefore we are good. And it doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
So that's my concern. I don't care. I mean, tone is tone, and you can do that however you want. I just think with Superman, that tone didn't work for me. As I feel
well,
they
to
wanted
be fair,
to portray
you,
that character.
You were never really on board with that tone, because I remember sitting next to you at Comic-Con when they showed the first Man of Steel footage ever, and everyone was like, whoa! And you were like, hmm. Like, and not it, like, nothing against you, but just like I'm saying that like your opinion was fully formed like the second you saw
it. It was not full. Whoa, 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 whoa. That makes it sound like I had an agenda.
No, but I'm saying your opinion towards this tone and towards how they were portraying Superman, it wasn't influenced by, like, backlash or, like, oh, I love Marvel or, you know.
No, it was just the take on it I found not as exciting as others.
Sure.
You know, and that's not to dismiss. I do think, though, I will argue. I mean, and I understand there are preferences of tone. Again, my issue with Man of Steel is partially script and partially not understanding the notion of what is... Should there even be something triumphant about Superman? If not, fine. I find that a bit of a missed opportunity, but so be it. I just, then it raises other questions about what are you trying to do with this character and what makes him special. And ultimately, that's a question that extends far beyond Superman and really to all adaptation, which we will not go into on this show. No, but seriously, it's like when you're adapting a character, how far can you stray from the original source before you come up with something that is completely unrecognizable?
Yeah.
And I mean, if you want to talk about that, I think people should brace themselves for Fantastic Four.
For I don't as know much what the hell's going on with
see,
that.
See, to movie. Me, it's like, I think they're hiding that thing.
I think they're hiding it because I think there's a really different take going on.
Exactly. There's a take that's good. So different, they need to land it perfectly.
Yeah.
They need to make sure people get it from the get-go.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, see, and that's the thing, it would be too far, and you have to make people come to you.
Yeah. And I'm not saying it's found footage, but I feel like there's got to be something. Because that is so not the norm to just, like, have nothing out for that movie. And it comes out next August. Not a logo. And it was supposed to come out, next June originally? Yep. Not a logo, not, like, a teaser photo from the set. Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
Yeah, I mean, think about, and just to put, and again, I know we're talking about teaser culture, but just to put it in comparison, like, you know, when we're talking June, because Fantastic Four was only recently moved.
Yeah.
But it was going to be in June, and so was Jurassic World. We've seen a fair amount, like, not like all of Jurassic World, but we've seen photos.
Yeah.
We've seen a poster. That film is still a long way away. I don't think we might get a teaser trailer at the end of this year, like in the Christmas season. That's about 6 months, you know, 6 months before the film opens. But, you know, we've been getting a little here and there. Fantastic Four, for all intents and purposes, does not exist for most
people.
We've
seen more from Star Wars, which is a J.J. Abrams film, who is so secretive and so protected. We've seen more from that than we have from Fantastic Four.
Well, maybe he needs to get into a war with Josh Trank.
Yeah. Maybe.
He needs to get into an online spat where Fantastic Four appears on a Star Destroyer or some such shit.
Well, I did want to say, speaking to kind of the tone of Man of Steel and where you thought it faltered, that's why I'm more excited for Batman v Superman than I am for anything that Marvel has announced, because I want to see if there's been course correction. I want to see how they're filling out this universe, because when they made Man of Steel, Man of Steel, there was certainly the hope that they would get to make a, you know, DC movie universe or franchise or whatever, but that wasn't their main focus because they were rebooting Superman, which is a tall order in and of itself. So now, like, Batman v Superman is really the first stepping stone to this franchise and the first kind of, like, introduction. And so I'm really, really curious to see what that is, what that looks like.
Sure. I'm not writing it off. I mean, I'll be... That's the thing with these movies. I can be like, oh, this looks better.
Yeah,
I'm going to
show
every up
single
to,
one of them.
I'm going to see all of them. Even if it wasn't my job to see them, I'd still see them. So,
I don't know if I would have seen Thor the Dark World if it wasn't my job to see that movie.
You don't like Dark Elves? You're not a big fan of the Dark Elves?
So that does have the best third act of any Marvel movie. Well, maybe Guardians beats it a little bit, but that third act is fun, just to see Kat Dennings yell meow meow as the hammer's flying around, flying through
that
dimensions.
That's second half, yeah, it's a great. Once Loki enters the picture, it takes off. But I hear what you're saying. If you're not a Marvel fan, then they don't all feel essential. And I mean, I'm a Marvel fan, and I'm not going to buy every one of those Blu-rays for Phase 2, you know?
Yeah.
Some of them all, you know, I don't need to own every Marvel film. I don't own Iron Man 2.
Don't own it.
Why not?
Well, maybe Captain America Civil War is the movie that finally fixes Marvel's villain problem, because all their villains suck, and Civil War, the villain is Tony Stark. So there you go. Like, that's a good one.
Yeah. And that, to me, still kind of blows me away that Robert Downey Jr. is basically co-starring.
Yeah.
It's not an ensemble. He's co-starring.
He's hijacking the Captain America franchise, really, is what happened.
I don't want to put it that way, because that way makes me sad. I like Captain America. He's my favorite of all the Marvel characters, and I like his movies the best, and I like Chris Evans a lot.
Are they just going to forget about Winter Soldier? How do they fit any of that into a movie that's called Civil War? And Black Panther as well.
Technically, he just went underground, or he's prologue. It doesn't. We assume that's the thing about Marvel. We just got to keep throwing the assumptions out the window.
I want to keep teasing. Let's keep speculating. come on.
I know. I don't.
you're being a real buzzkill, Goldberg. Join in the speculation. All the cool kids are doing it.
It's fine. See, and that, I don't have a problem with speculating. I think it's fine to like take whatever like informed knowledge. Like we know that Downey Jr. is co-starring in Captain America. We know that Black Panther has a quote-unquote large role in it, and we know that they've said before that the Winter Soldier storyline will be a big part of it. So reasonably, we can assume something's got to give in all of that. But I think where you take it too far is where you just spend like every day just talking about, getting into fights about it, like, no, this is what's going to happen, or like, this is what should happen. I think that's when it becomes overkill, and it's like, hey guys, you know, there's a lot of great movies out right now. Have you seen Foxcatcher? That thing's pretty great.
we don't argue about Foxcatcher enough.
We should.
Hey, that movie has the Hulk. Come on.
It does have the Hulk.
Yeah.
You're right. See, and Gambit.
Oh, future Gambit. I was like, Taylor Kitsch isn't in that fucking movie. No, future. You have tentative Gambit.
Tentative Gambit.
Yeah, we're not even touching on all the... There are like other superhero movies in the world. That's the other thing. Mike Ryan on Twitter said that there are, right now, six superhero movies every year through up till 2020.
Oh, man.
Six a year.
Everyone thought that 2015 was going to be the big year, but now I think 2016 has just an insane amount of superhero movies scheduled.
Well, it'll be 2016, and then some of those will blink, and then 2017. I think we won't see Batman v Superman until at least 2019. It'll just keep getting scared.
It'll just keep getting
down the schedule. That film's been moved like twice now.
Sure, but that thing's been trucking. Like, they have been in production. They've been...
Oh, yeah. No, I think they just wrapped in Michigan.
Yeah.
They're fine.
And that is the best marketing, like, best, like, in-production marketing for a superhero movie I've ever seen. The way, like, Zack Snyder's handling that. Like, you know, here's your first official look at Batman before, like, the set photos come up. Here's an official look at Wonder Woman before
the... Well, that's just the Warner Brothers way. I mean, they did that with Dark Knight Rises.
I don't...
They did that...
I've blocked...
They did that
Dark
with...
Dark Knight Rises memories out of my mind.
Well, no, they did that with... I remember, because this was... Let me refresh your memory. So with Bane, we all got to reveal the image when we tweeted hashtag the fire rises.
Oh, I remember that.
There you go, right?
Yeah.
And then they showed us the first image of Catwoman later on the bike.
That's true.
So that, you know, when all the outdoor filming scenes were about to begin. No, they play it perfectly. And apparently, to their credit, Fox has played Fantastic Four perfectly, because there's no set photos from that either.
Yeah, the problem with that is I don't think people know that a Fantastic Four movie's coming out. I don't know if they're worried of the stigma of the old movie. I don't think anyone would mistake this for, like, a sequel to the old movies. I mean, I guess someone who's not, like, really not plugged in would be like, oh, another Fantastic Four? Those movies suck. But, like, I don't know how you're going to be like, oh, is this the same thing? Especially when Chris Evans is Captain America now.
Right. I think this is the thing. I think audiences are savvy enough, when fed the right marketing materials, can figure out the differences between things. This notion of, like, there's a Flash TV series and a Flash movie. How will that work? Well, one will be marketed this way and another will be marketed this way.
Yeah.
And no one's going to confuse a fucking CW show with a major motion picture.
Sure.
With two actors who don't look anything alike. Like, it's not that... It's not like, oh man, how will they pull this off? I don't... Imagine your Warner Brothers like, wow, how can we pull this off? I guess no Flash movie. Like, they're not going to do that. They'll just be like, we'll have to just be savvy about how we market it. And then they'll be savvy about how they market it.
Sure. I just think that's kind of shitty to the TV actors. Like, oh man. Like,
well,
the Flash TV show is kind of a hit right now, but then when the movie comes out, it's kind of like the thunder's been stolen, and like, you're kind of the Flash, but you're like the B-level Flash. You're the Flash understudy.
Well,
Ezra Miller's in the movies, so.
Well, not necessarily. I mean, if the Flash takes, you know, is a successful right as it, in 3 years, if it's a successful...
Yeah, that's the thing. Who knows if it's still on the air from now.
Right, and if it's a hit, then people will like it as it is. You can't get Grant Gustin to be in your Flash movie.
No.
You can't build your Flash movie around a TV show schedule, a CW TV schedule as well. So you're not going to sit on Flash. You just go forward and you figure it out. And that really seems to be the Warner Brothers approach. We'll figure it out later. We're going to announce, and we'll figure it out later. And granted, not that Marvel is, again, just, you know, gussying things up. imagine if Warner Brothers had just had this kind of presentation where they had logos and dates. This is the thing. They would just have logos.
As opposed to just sending out a press release to investors.
Exactly. That's the thing. It's just the showmanship of it.
Well,
because
and that's
really,
the thing. That's
I mean, these
becomes...
Marvel movies, who are, like you were saying earlier, who are the directors? Who are the writers? What? I don't know.
That's the thing about, like, you know, people like, oh, you know, Marvel's for the fans and Warner Brothers for investors. And it's like, well, actually, it really seems like Warner Brothers is more like, you know, here's what we're doing. We're not releasing it to the fans because these movies aren't real yet. Like, we're just releasing it to our investors to say, like, hey, by 2018, you can expect this kind of revenue. Like, I know this is a simplified way of looking at it, but it's kind of like, you know, what else can we say? Like, hey, fans, we're making an Aquaman movie.
Right. I mean, that's the thing. I just feel like there is some sort of conceited notion on the level of fans. It's like, hey, why didn't you play directly to us? Why didn't you do the exact same thing that we wanted? You know, like, it feels like a little inflated sense of self-importance.
Sure.
You're still going to get the movie you wanted. I'm sorry it wasn't, the announcement of it wasn't in a nice little package for you that made you feel special. And I just don't understand, like, do you really need that so badly? Like, I don't know.
Especially when these movies are so far away.
They're so far away. They're already successful. You're going to get what you want. Is it that much worse? Does a Flash movie now mean less to you because it didn't come with a big presentation attached to it and a Q&A? I understand Marvel did this better from a presentation standpoint, but I still feel that the end result is the same.
Yeah.
And I feel like we're missing the point of the end result and getting really worked up over marketing. And that's the thing, that it's just marketing.
Yeah, it's not like, oh man, like Marvel really, like, I'm sure Warner Brothers over there hanging their heads. They don't know what to do. They're fine. Like, these movies come out years from now. Right now they're focused on getting a script ready. They're going to be focused on the marketing to make sure that their movie is marketed differently than Marvel's movie, to make sure that, you know, it hits the same
different. To make sure their giant space monster is different than Marvel's giant space monster.
Basically, yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, that's the thing, is that, you know, no one's shamed by any of this. You know, until we've seen the movies and seen kind of the direction and stuff, it's not a competition. It's fine.
It's only a competition in the minds of fans.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is that I feel like we should just be happy that, like, you know, oh, like, cool. Like, we're getting twice the amount of movie. Like, maybe, like, say I'm a Marvel guy. Maybe I'm not a big DC guy. But, you know, that's still being offered to me. Like, I still have the option to see an Aquaman movie if I choose to. And it doesn't, you know, it's not costing me anything for this to exist beyond the price of a ticket to see it. Like, if other people like it, fun. Like, good for them. Like, that's how I think. I mean, the more the merrier. Like, as long as, you know, these movies aren't being, I was going to say these movies aren't being made specifically just to make money, which is exactly why they're being made. But I think as long as they're getting interesting creative types involved in these, you know, more power to them. I'm not a huge Marvel movie guy. Like, I don't love all the Marvel movies, but I don't begrudge anyone who enjoys them. I'm not going to go up to someone who, like, says Guardians of the Galaxy is the best movie of the year and say, like, you know, fuck you, you're terrible. You know, I might say, like, hey, you know, that's good for you. You should check out Nightcrawler. It's a pretty cool movie. But, you know, beyond that, I'm not going to go up to, you know, I don't begrudge people for liking these movies.
I'm just curious about how many of these people who were like, yeah, Marvel did it right, take a lesson, you know, DC. And again, I made this joke, or I made a joke on Twitter. I don't really begrudge DC at all, but people who are genuinely like, you know, man, DC doesn't respect the fans. Okay, so does this mean you won't be seeing Batman v Superman?
Yeah.
Just be fine. No, just tell me. This, because you weren't effectively marketed to in this announcement of a long game, does this mean you are now boycotting the Warner Brothers DC movies? No. Oh, okay. Well, why are you upset? Because you've created a little war in your mind where the giant companies are the ones who are really the players here. So that's just the thing. And I just want people to pull back a little bit. It's good to be excited. I'm not trying to drain enthusiasm, but I feel that it's, at least for me, it's frustrating sometimes when people get worked up about things that I feel are unrelated to movies or facts about the production.
Sure.
You know, it's sort of like, it's, you know,
perspective.
It's like,
it's all about perspective.
It's all about perspective. And now you're on the collision, we have the right perspective. That's
I wouldn't say that.
That's why you tune in. We have the right perspective.
Just because we bloviate here for an hour every week.
That's how you know. Hey, if you've got a podcast, hell, if you got a radio show, how can you be wrong? All right, Adam, do you have anything else to say on Warner Brothers DC, or do you want to hop to recommendations?
I guess not. I've had enough superhero film. I'll be between this, like, the Warner Brothers onslaught and the Marvel onslaught.
I feel like a
supervillain
now, for as much as I hate superheroes.
I know, and that's the thing. It's kind of annoying that it makes you not hate them, but it's
I don't
kind
hate
of like,
them.
I'm just. I'm tired.
Much,
I need to walk away from the superhero stuff for a while.
It's too much candy. That's what it is.
Too much candy. Too much candy. But the reality is that, you know, as we've seen, like, today they announced a ton of release dates, but looking at the release dates, like, there's some time in between them. Like, we will have breathers in between the movies. As long as you're not fixated on like, what's next the whole time, then you can go see Doctor Strange in November 2016 and then, you know, hang on until May 2017 to see Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Yeah, and here's the thing. And just don't forget about the movies that are closer. Don't give up on Avengers Age of Ultron.
Yeah.
Don't forget it.
Don't forget the little guy.
Don't forget little Ant-Man.
This is probably Joss Whedon's last Marvel movie, so, you know, that's something to be excited about.
Exactly. So treasure what we have much closer, rather than be like, I wonder what Inhumans is going to be like. You'll get there.
Yeah, you will find out.
Yes.
Unless you're Sony and you just make up plans for movies that probably will never exist. I can guarantee you that these movies will happen.
Yes, this is true.
They're on Marvel's schedule. When Sony announces Amazing Spider-Man 4, that's probably never going to... You're not going to see that movie. That movie will not exist.
No, it won't.
I don't even think Sinister 6 is going to exist at this point.
No, it won't.
So just be thankful that these movies are probably happening. You will we'll see them. It'll happen.
Yes, indeed. Recommendations. I'm burnt out on talking about superheroes.
Yeah. Well, it's a good thing, because we're going to recommend two things that have nothing to do with superheroes. I'm actually going to recommend another podcast, Gasp. It is Serial Podcast. You may have heard of this.
Yes.
It is incredibly addicting, and it's amazing, and it's the best storytelling that's happening right now across any medium. It is from the creators of This American Life. It's hosted by Sarah Koenig. And the Serial Podcast, I don't want to go too much into it, because the joy of it is kind of finding out what's happening week to week. But essentially, it's a true story, like a murder mystery that's happening in real time. So Sarah Koenig worked for the Baltimore Sun as a journalist. Someone brought to her attention this case that happened. In January 1999, a high school student was convicted of strangling his girlfriend to death and sentenced to prison. He's in prison right now. The circumstances surrounding the case are really weird. And there were a lot of things that were overlooked or glossed over, and there's a lot of stuff about the timeline that doesn't really make sense, which isn't to say that this guy didn't do it, but there's a lot of stuff that was not covered as deeply as it should have been. And so in this podcast, Sarah goes week to week. She's investigating the case. She's doing so with some help. And so each week you're kind of following along with her investigation, and she's talking with people involved in the case. She has contact with the guy who was convicted of the murder, who's in prison now, and she records all of the conversations. And you might be thinking, like, oh, you know, this is a podcast about, you know, a wrongfully convicted murderer, you know, well, you know, it's just going to be about, oh, let's get him out of prison. But it's really, she has a fantastic sense of perspective and objectiveness about the whole thing. And it's more about kind of, you know, something's up here, something's going on, and we don't know what it is. We need to it's trying to figure that out. And it's so interesting and so engaging. It's like an episode of Dateline, but it's extremely well structured, the way she puts it all together and kind of goes through the case. It's easy to follow. I'm now obsessed with this case and trying to figure out what's going on. It's also ongoing. They're on episode 5 now, but they're still in production on the episodes as they're gathering new evidence and new information. And you will find yourself trying to figure out this case along with her while you're listening to it. She presents all the evidence really objectively in a really nice way. She goes back and tries to recreate some of the circumstances and stuff. It's fantastic. And I promise you will be hooked if you start listening to it. I listened to the first five episodes when I was taking a very long drive out of town. So I highly, highly suggest you get in on this. It's fantastic. It's called Serial Podcast, S-E-R-I-A-L. You can find it at serialpodcast.org. It's also on iTunes. But yeah, it's well worth your time. Each episode is they range in lengths. Some are like half an hour, some are 45 minutes, some are an hour. But I mean, if you're stuck in traffic on the way to work or on the way back from work, you can, you know, bang on an episode a day. So,
or you don't even have to be traveling. Just chill out and listen.
Yeah.
They're great.
Yeah. Or just, you know, sit around at home and listen to it with friends. It's really great to kind of, I've been talking it out with other people that have been listening to it and kind of like, okay, what do you think? Like, what do you think happened? Like, what is your theory on how this all went down? Because it's very much presented objectively, so you can draw your own conclusions. But yeah, I can't wait until the next episode. They're released on Thursday mornings. So I cannot recommend this enough, Serial Podcast. Listen to it.
I agree. My recommendation is Nightcrawler, which I saw for the second time tonight, and it's really creepy. It opens this Friday. The plot of the film is that Jake Gyllenhaal plays a guy named Louis Bloom, who is kind of a sociopath. He's trying to find a career in life. He's basically regurgitates things that he's read online about being a businessman, but in a completely just distant, you know, almost robotic way, like a person trying to pretend to be a person. And one day he stumbles across a car crash, and Bill Paxton plays a Nightcrawler, which is a guy who is a freelance cameraman who tries to capture gory footage to sell to local news stations. And therein Lou finds his calling. And so the thing about Lou is he has no limits. So the film...
That's putting it mildly.
He has no limits. And the thing is this is not like a loss of innocence story. That would be one thing. It's like, he started out, you know, just trying to do a good job. No, he is already in a dark place when this film begins. And really, it's like, how much further can this dark calling take this guy for someone who is not just willing to, you know, cross under police tape to get the good shot? Or, I mean, it's already very awful to sort of jam your camera into a dying person's face to get good footage so you can make $100 selling it to a local news station, which, by the way, is presented as its own sociopathic entity. Renee Russo plays a news director. She is fantastic, as she sort of shares more of Lou's ethos than she'd care to admit, and yet is also at his mercy, as is the world, because Lou has no limits, and he is calculating, and he is disturbing, and Jake Gyllenhaal just gives a mind-blowing performance. His character doesn't blink. He talks in this weird clipped speech, gives these phony smiles that just through, like, it has you every single second. And this was my second viewing. I knew it was going to happen now, and I was still squirming in my seat, because there are scenes in this movie where he just sort of closes in as, like, his monstrous side comes out, but in this unique way. And I say right now, you know, yeah, Ouija is in theaters and is ostensibly a horror film, and Saw is coming back for its 10th anniversary, and I'm sure it'll be just as awful now as it was 10 years ago. And so, those are horror films. No, there are two horror films that you can go see on the 31st. One is Nightcrawler, and the other is Whiplash. They're both horror films in their own way. And Nightcrawler, though, will definitely creep you out far more than I think Ouija will. So I would definitely say go check out Nightcrawler. All right, thanks for listening, everyone. If you want to keep up with this podcast, you can follow us on Twitter. My Twitter handle is Matt Goldberg. Adam, where can we find you on Twitter?
At Adam Chitwood.
All right, thanks for listening, everyone, and we'll be back with you next week.